Hey, good afternoon, everyone. If you have your Bibles, let's go ahead and turn to the book of Luke, chapter 17. Luke, chapter 17. We are in actually part two. Thank you, Ichi. Of a message we started last week on building the kingdom. Sorry for the abrupt end. If you were here last week and I ended the message quite abruptly, I just felt it was I had said enough and it was time to close the service. As you know, I'm trying to translate the series which Pastor Hiroshi is doing in his services, in the Japanese services, on the theme of building. He's been preaching on things like, building our altar, basically developing our personal relationship of worship to God, building the church, our relationships with each other as we relate to each other in God's family, and then last week, building in the kingdom. And for those of you who know Pastor Hiroshi, his sermons for the Japanese, the English sermons he does are pretty simple, straightforward. It's, you know, English is his second language, so it's he doesn't have to get all in-depth. But for his Japanese messages, they're not very easy to translate. They take a good bit of studying themselves. Pastor Hiroshi was, for a few years, actually a seminary professor. He was teaching at the Assemblies of God Seminary. A few years back, and so sometimes when you listen to his sermons, it feels like you're sitting in a classroom listening to, you know, the professor giving his lecture. But it's good stuff. It's good vegetables and meat of the word, and it's just great stuff to feed on. But it's hard to translate and put all into one message. And he usually has about 40 to 45 minutes to preach. So anyways, that's my sorry excuse for. Ending so abruptly last week, but picking up, I want to pick up somewhat from where we left off, but before we do that, let's take a minute to review, talking about building the kingdom of God, building the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, is something that you will read and hear about whenever you read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It is the kingdom that Jesus preached about many times, and he even used the expression kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, almost 100 times in his ministry, in his recorded ministry. So the idea or the principle of the kingdom of God is very important to Jesus. And if it's very important to Jesus, well, for us who are his followers, it ought to be and is very important to us. And so Hiroshi Sensei was just going through some of the main scriptures that that we find that include the phrase kingdom of God, and we're trying to put together a picture or an idea of what it kind of all means. And in Luke 17, what happened was the Pharisees, the religious leaders, the teachers of the scriptures at that time, came to Jesus with an attitude. They came to him with a pointed finger, saying, Jesus, if you're a preacher of the kingdom of God, if you are saying that you are bringing the kingdom of God with you, that you have it here, then show it to us. Point it to us. Say where the area is that we can find it. Where are the boundaries? Who is the king of this new kingdom? Where is the military of this new kingdom? And when is it going to begin, Jesus? And Jesus is saying, look, says there at the end of verse 20, it's not coming with your careful observation. And it's interesting that the Bible the English translated as careful observation. You can translate it as with your bad attitude, with that kind of show it to me, prove it to me. Come on, God, if you're really real, where are you? Kind of attitude. God doesn't show up to satisfy our attitude. God doesn't live to please our wishes. And so Jesus is saying, look, it's not about what you want. It's not about what you're looking for. You're looking for something that's man-made. You're looking for man-made boundaries. You're looking for a human king. You're looking for a political independence. You're looking for all those things that come with a man-made kingdom, man-made laws, man-made values, man-made rules. And Jesus says, I'm not bringing that. I'm bringing a new kingdom, a different kind of kingdom, God-ordained rules, God-ordained values, God-ordained laws. And they don't come with a bad attitude. It comes with a good attitude. It comes with humility. If you want to know what about the kingdom of God is, you have to become like a little child. You have to have simple faith and believe in the one that God sent. Simply as a child believes that his father or his mother loves him and is willing to do anything for his protection and his upbringing. It's not something where you could say, here it is, or there it is. It's not something that starts with a new kind of political upheaval or a military coup. Jesus is saying the kingdom of God has started. It says there, the kingdom of God is within you. And we said last week that that is an unfortunate translation of the phrase. In fact, the Japanese translates it a little bit better. If I could find it again. Where is it? The Japanese was, what was it? Was that it? No, that's not it. Excuse me. Having my technical issues again. The Japanese said something like, Kami no kuni wa anata no aida ni. It is among you. It is in your midst. In other words, Jesus was saying, look, it's not, you know, some spooky, spiritual, metaphysical thing that if you look deep inside of you, you'll find God somewhere. It's not like that. The kingdom of God is within you, meaning look right in front of you. The kingdom of God is under your nose. The kingdom of God is standing right in front of you. The kingdom of God is speaking to you. Why? Because the kingdom of God is all about the king. And that is Jesus Christ. And if you come to the king with the right attitude, the humble attitude, if you come to the king with a simple faith, if you come to the king asking for him to save you and to redeem you, then you have entered the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is right there in the person of Jesus Christ. That's what he meant when he said, the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is what we're in now, as we've had the coming of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ ushered in the kingdom of God. With Jesus Christ began the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. And he ushered it in with that sermon that he preached in Matthew chapter 5, all the way through 7, that Sermon on the Mount, the greatest sermon ever preached. And that's where he lays out all of the principles of the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. And we are living in that kingdom era, the new kingdom era. And it's not that you know, we're trying to make a new utopia. We're trying to set apart a new place where Christians can dwell, and it's just one big happy colony or compound. It's not like that. We just can't build up a fence and a wall and say, okay, this is where all the good people are going to live. Everybody else, do your thing. It's not like that. That's not what the kingdom of God is, as Jesus preached it. Building the kingdom of God begins with what Jesus has is called a kingdom paradigm. Kingdom paradigm. as Hiroshi explained it, it's a way of thinking, it's a way of looking, it's a system of thought that dictates what's true and what's not true in the world. Kingdom paradigm. I like how Hiroshi put it. Hito no kuni no paradigm ni mado wasarenai. Is that right? Mado wasarenai. That term, mado wasarenai, right there, means not to be diluted, not diluted, deceived. Yes, thank you. It's a D word I was looking for. Not to be deceived. Yes. Not to be thinking of what this world thinks as important, as necessary. A kingdom paradigm is not, basically not conforming to what the world thinks you need to become. Excuse me, but it's being transformed by the Word of God. What did that involve? As we mentioned last week, it's an upside down social order where it's not the meek who are serving the powerful, where the powerful sit on top of the pyramid and the weak are the little no-names are the ones doing all of the important work while the powerful sit and enjoy the fruits of everybody else's labor. But it's an upside-down social order where Jesus says it's the first, the last are the first. And the service is going from the powerful to the meek. Jesus himself said, look, the Son of Man, I did not come to be served, but to serve many and to give my life as a ransom for everyone. So what does that mean? It's for those of us who are in positions of authority, whether it's parents, whether it's teachers, whether it's management, where we have influence over people and we have responsibility over departments or over teams. It's not that they are serving us to make us look good, but it's that we are using all that's within our resources, all that's within our ability to serve them and to make them look good. That's what Jesus was bringing with his new kingdom paradigm. It's an upside-down social order. He also said it's heaven-set values. Instead of self-preservation and self-promotion, it's storing up treasure in heaven, God promotion. And it's seeking the kingdom of God first and his righteousness. The kingdom paradigm also has inside-out rules, whereas the human kingdoms have laws and rules to set up our to control our actions and to control us from the outside in. God says, no, 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 no. I'm going to change you from the inside out. I'm going to write my word on your heart. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. Your word have I hidden in my heart, that I will not sin against you. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Your word is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, dividing even the joints from the marrow, the soul, and the spirit. That means your word, God, is what's going to rule my life and not these other rules. And it's an inside-out kind of law. Building the kingdom of heaven starts with the kingdom paradigm. And then Hiroshi Sensei went on to talk about being a kingdom people. And this is where he really got serious. Building the kingdom involves being a kingdom people. He mentions Matthew 5, 43 and 44, loving your enemies. Ooh, I don't know why he picked that one. And Matthew 6, 1 through 4, where Jesus is talking about, look, if you want to pray, you don't need to have these big old prayer meetings where you're up in front of everybody and, you know, shouting and jumping and going crazy, you know, with these ritualized, repetitive prayers. He says, no, when you pray, it's very simple. You just go into your room and close the door, and you pray to the Father in secret. And the one who sees what you do in secret will definitely hear you. That is prayer in the kingdom of God. In other words, we don't need to do things for show. We don't need to do things, you know, when we do something, you know, when we're trying to do right, you know, you have that voice in the back of your head saying, you know, somebody should notice you. Somebody really should have a camera pointed to you, and it should be on reality TV of how great you are and, you know, how good you're doing. And it's very simple. When you hear that voice in the back of your head, you say, no, 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 it's okay. I have the one who sees me, what I do in secret, and I have all the reward I need. No, 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 no. I have a great cloud of witnesses in heaven who see what I do and cheer me on. Who've walked the road I've walked. Names we will never hear in books or read of in books or hear of in other sermons, but they know. That's the kingdom that we belong to. Loving your enemies, praying for those who persecute you. Why should we ever love our enemies? Especially for us here who feel that we have lots of enemies just because of our last name. Because our last name isn't Tanaka or Suzuki. And we feel like, man, sometimes this whole society is against us. And it's us against the world sometimes. And we feel like we have just enemies, not because of what we do, but simply because of who we are. And God says we have to love them. When they put us back, when they cheat us out of situations, when they try to hold us back because they think we don't understand what they're saying or because we can never be one of them. And we have this attitude of, you know, us versus them. And yet Christ says we ought to love our enemies. Why do we love our enemies? Why would we ever extend kindness to our enemies? I've been reading in Exodus so far in my little one-year Bible. And God says, if your enemy's in a bad situation, like his ox is, you know, lame or crippled, help out your enemy. If your enemy is hurt or wounded, do what you can to help them out and to heal them. Why? Why would we love our enemies? Because I also read before that in Exodus, where God fights our enemies for us. God is a warrior. And we don't need to fight our enemies when we have God who knows how to fight. Read your Bible. Read what he does to the king of Egypt. Read what he does to those who lived in Canaan against the who lived trying to defeat the armies of Israel. He warred against them. He destroyed them. Read in your Bible in Revelation what he's going to do to our enemy at the end. When God fights our enemies, they are in trouble. And that's why we need to pray for them. And we need to love them. Because, man, they are in trouble if they're against the kingdom of heaven. We need to love them. We need to pray for them. That's how we build the kingdom. And people, we are called to love people into the kingdom. We're never called to hate people into the kingdom. Nobody ever said, you know what? I was never a Christian. I was never religious. I never read the Bible. I was never into church. But one day, someone from the church just hated me so much that I wanted to go to church. You know, one day somebody from the church just lectured me and pounded the Bible down my throat and just kept telling me how bad I was and how I was going to go to hell. And man, that really made me want to, you know, believe in God. Nobody ever said that. People say, yeah, when I was down and I was out, I had a friend who said, I'm going to pray for you. When I was in a hurting situation, I had a friend who, from this one church, he helped me out. Either financially or relationally, he was just there to listen to me. That's how we love people into the kingdom. And so God says we need to love our enemies. That's how we build the kingdom, is by being kingdom people. And finally, he says we need to have a kingdom perspective. A kingdom perspective. And in Matthew 13, he's preaching about the mustard seed principle. And that is the principle that the mustard seed being the smallest seed that you can find, once it, sprouts and grows into the tree, it becomes a huge tree, the biggest tree in the garden. And that's what he said is the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. We are few, but we are strong when you surround us. That is the kingdom of heaven. Small, but it's going to grow one relationship at a time. We don't need to keep it to ourselves, as Tyler says, as we shine, as we share, the kingdom grows. And that's the perspective that we have, because that's the reality. We have twos and fews sitting in the pews. But the reality is, we are joining a great choir and a great assembly in heaven. I love when we come. It's kind of a weird thing for me when I come in at 1:30 and there's very few here, and Jim's saying, "Hey, everybody," and you can hear his echo. And there's more people on the stage than there are, in the seats. And then we start singing, and I'm just taken out of this situation, and I remember the scriptures in Isaiah chapter 6 where there's angels surrounding the throne, and they're shouting, "Holy, holy, holy." And I just, when we're singing worship to God, "Lord, I lift your name on high," and I'm joining the assembly in heaven and worshiping my God, I don't care how few we are or how many we are here. I'm in the kingdom of heaven. And though we are small, we are the biggest tree in the garden. And our God is a great God. And there, all the nations, it says, all the nations lift up their voice in praise to our God. It is that perspective. That's the perspective of reality. Though there's many spaces wide open in this church, the reality is heaven is full of God's people. That's the kingdom of heaven. That's the perspective of the kingdom. I wrote on my Facebook update one time, I realized something one day. I said, my life is not busy. My life is abundant. I just had this, this epiphany. It's not busyness. I have to go to all these things and do all these things and be all these people. Have to run and be two places at one time. It's not busy, 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 and I'm tired, tired, tired. I realized, no. My life is abundant, Jesus blessed me so much that he's given me so many things to do, right? And it's not that, everybody's trying to pull me in different directions. No, God is pushing me into all these avenues where I could be a blessing to people. It's abundant. And I was like, yeah, praise God. That's a great, way of seeing it. And one of our old friends from this church, she's gone on back to the States now. She wrote back to me. She said, yeah, positive thinking. That's great. And I didn't think to answer to her. I said, thank you. But then I thought, it's not positive thinking. It's not like this thing where, if I think about it the right way long enough, you feel better about it. It's not that at all. Because, you can be in a terrible situation and have positive thinking, but the situation is still pretty bad. Right? But that's not the kingdom perspective. The kingdom perspective is you're in a terrible situation, but you know what the real situation is. It looks bad, but the reality is you're in the kingdom of heaven where God reigns and light wins, goodness reigns. Your life is not busy, but it's abundant, it's blessed. And that's that kingdom perspective. Okay, enough on that. I'm almost out of time. One more thing that Hiroshi hit, and I think is so important, when Jesus preached the kingdom of heaven, and it's that first thing that he preached when he preached on the kingdom of heaven, and that is repentance. In Matthew chapter 4, where Jesus is recorded to have started his preaching ministry, and also in Mark chapter 1, it says from that point on, Jesus preached, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is near." In Mark, it says, the time has come. The kingdom of God is here. Repent. The importance of repentance in the kingdom of heaven. And repentance, the Greek word is metanoeo. Basically, literally, it means to having done something is to look back and say, oh, I see what that is. It's to perceive afterwards. Metanoia is the noun form. Hiroshi broke it down as, the Japanese word is, if I get this right, kui aratameru. Kui aratameru. That is just one of the hardest Japanese words in the language, kui aratameru. It's easier to say repentance. It just rolls off the tongue there. But I like how he broke it down. Sumi, sin o kuite, basically to be sorry, repent of sin. And then, okonai? Okonai o aratameru, correct. To correct your action. And it says to change your heart, to change the way you're thinking. And then your life is changed as a result of that reflection from the genpon, you know, from the very heart, the root of your life changes completely. It's a change of your purpose, change of your direction is the meaning of metanoia or repentance. Repentance actually gets thrown around a lot in the English language, and it's, you know, not something that's easily understood. If you guys are watching the Vancouver Olympics, there was a snowboarder from Japan. His name was Kokubo, and he got in trouble last week because he's not just snowboarding for himself, he's representing Japan. And he went to, I think it was the opening ceremony or just getting off the plane when he had, you know, the Japanese athletes had to wear a uniform, and he's this cool snowboarder guy with the dreadlocks, and he's, you know, he's got his suit kind of all raggedy and his pants like halfway down his legs, you know, because that's the style. And I understand that, you know, it's cool. My little brother, when in his early 20s, it's called sagging, where they wear the pants really low and you can see the underwear. That's the style. Okay, that's fine. If you're, you know, my little brother living in Southern California, working at a part-time job, going to school. But if you're representing a country and a people, you don't dress like that. You dress with some style and some, you know, reservation. Well, this Kokubo guy, he's coming in there really cool. And he gets in trouble by the Olympic Committee, and they say, you can't compete. And this is a big deal because he's supposed to be, you know, in one of the top snowboarders in the world. He has a good chance of getting a medal in the Olympics. And he says, okay, you know, whatever. And then they say that, no, we're serious. You can't compete unless you say sorry. And so he goes in front of people and he has a little press conference, says, "Hai, hansei shimasu." You know, this kind of attitude, like, oh, I'm sorry, like kind of that attitude. That is not repentance. Okay. Repentance is not "hansei shimasu." Oh God, I'm sorry. I know it's wrong, but I'm still going to do it again. I'm not really changing my attitude. That's not kui aratameru. Repentance means, yeah, I see what I did. It is wrong. God hates sin. God died for sin. Not yours, not his sin, but for our sin. That's how bad it was. And we look at our sin, and we look at what we did to put Jesus on our cross. And we say, that cannot be my life. I cannot live in the kingdom of God and have this way of living anymore. And I'm going to turn away from it. That's repentance. It's a change. It's a visible change. It's a constant change. Hiroshi says, it's change that happens every day. Listen very carefully. There's repentance and there's recovery. For many of us, we have repented. We know what we've done wrong. We know what we've thought wrong. We know what we didn't do, and it was wrong. And we say, God, I'm so sorry for what I do or what I've done. And we repent. And then what happens the next day? We do it again. And we fall and we stumble. And we think, I thought I repented. I thought I turned over a new leaf. I thought I was going to get it right. And we stumble and we fall. And we think, am I going to repent again? Do I have to repent again? I thought I knew. This is wrong. And look, you were right. You repented. It is wrong. You were convicted. You're recovering. There's repentance and there's recovery. Thinking about the Winter Olympics, you know, there's that curling event and people are walking on the ice. You ever see somebody slip on the ice? I've seen that. It's the funniest thing I've ever seen, you know, when they're just running and feet are up in the air. Is it because the person doesn't know how to walk? No. It's because the person was careless. He can walk. He's been walking all his life. But it's just when, you know, they're not being careful. They slip and they fall. And they're on the ground and they say, oh man, I thought I knew how to walk. What is wrong with me? I'll never get up and walk again. No. He has to get up, dust himself off, and just be more careful and recover. And some of us need to be reminded, there's a word of grace for us. There's a word of mercy. You're recovering. You fall, you trip, you were careless, but let's get up again. And let's say, God, it's wrong, I confess it, and I'm going to move on. I've repented, I'm done with that sin. And I thank you, God, that I'm forgiven. I thank you, God, that I'm part of your kingdom. I want to close with one more scripture, which I think is just caps off. Oh, excuse me. Repentance, just one quick thing. I love that song, really ministered to me when I was just listening to it. Look, I've got 1 foot out the door, and to go back where I was would just be wrong. I'm pressing on. That's repentance. I'm moving on. I'm done with this sin. That's repentance. Okay, just had to get that in there. I think you could be a punk rock musician, Bob. No problem. It's, you know, it's in your blood. But praise the Lord. That really ministered to me. Thank you. Just to close on the kingdom of heaven, Colossians 1:13, for he has rescued us from the dominion, the kingdom of darkness, and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. Praise God. Praise God. We're not part of the old kingdom. If you are in Jesus, if you are in Christ, you are in the kingdom of the Son he loves. And you've been rescued. You've been rescued. I pray. I'm so glad to see Kudo-san. I haven't seen him since baptism. He's part of the kingdom of the Son. And I'm just so blessed to be a part of this kingdom. It's a good kingdom. It's the kingdom of the Son. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead, spend a moment in prayer and reflection. And I'm going to ask Bob and Makiko if you could come on up, get us ready for worship. Shall we bow and close our eyes? Take a minute to give God praise for his kingdom. Take a moment to give God praise for his mercy and grace that has allowed you to repent and move on with your life. Hallelujah. God, we just praise you for this kingdom of the Son, this kingdom of heaven, this kingdom of God. We thank you and praise you. Father, we want to live as people of your kingdom. Hallelujah. We want to walk as people of the kingdom. Lord, help us. Give us strength. Thank you for your mercy and grace. In Jesus' name, amen.